Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you. And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles. You don't need that love. Los Angeles, Los Angeles.
Hey. Good morning, everyone. 5:04 a.m. Yes, it is. April 22nd. I feel like we're just talking about January. This is weird, right? Weird. April 22nd, 2018, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640, iHeartRadio. Don't forget, we are on all social media platforms as well that you can, check in with us. Instagram is at Elizabeth Espinosa, Twitter at @E_Espinosa. Wow. I think we've played a few stories for you already here about Barbara Bush, but what a loss, what a life, what a legacy. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But we do want to get into really quick here a big story that happened out here in Southern California, or I should say California, really, last week. Lawmakers, that's right, they actually are doing something. It's always nice to see when they get to work. Well, they really did make a big push, real big push on Thursday. The California Assembly voted to add gay conversion therapy. Remember we've talked about this on the show? Gay conversion therapy, basically this type of therapy where they believe that they can basically therapy your gayness out of you. That's bizarre. Just so crazy. And, there is a very vocal assemblyman, Evan Lowe. He's a Democrat from Campbell, which is up north, by the way, who basically went on the record, was very vocal and said it's harmful, it's unnecessary. And of course, some people think that you can pray someone's gayness away. Not exactly the case. But it's incredible that now what this has done is it's moving this, putting it on the gay conversion therapy. It's putting it on the list of deceptive business practices so that it would become illegal, which is really an incredible move. And remember we had an author, someone who experienced gay conversion therapy on the show. So we thought we'd talk to him and ask him a little bit about this huge move here in California. Peter Gajdic, the author of Inheritance of Shame. Peter, good morning. Welcome back to Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks so much for calling me.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is really huge. I know we talked about it because your book really gets into that discussion of, gay conversion therapy. Once again, if we reset what that is and what you experienced, if you could summarize, I know there's a lot to it, but in essence, what was that like for you?
It was hugely traumatic. For me, it went on 6 years, and it was all conversion therapies, including the one I was in, are founded on some sort of version of the lie that says to be gay or, trans is somehow a brokenness, a sin or a deviation, and you need to cure it or correct it. My psychiatrist, for me, it was not a pray away the gay. It was secular. I was with a psychiatrist, and he told me that, childhood sexual abuse had created, so to speak, my homosexuality, and so we needed to undo, in his words, my homosexuality, and I would therefore return to heterosexuality. It sounds completely bizarre out of the box, but when you're distressed, as anyone in therapy is, gay, straight, trans, period, you believe things your therapist, people in positions of power, are telling you, and you're off to the races. And so for me, with this doctor, he prescribed enormous amounts of psychiatric medication, which ultimately led to a medication-induced breakdown. He used aversion therapy. He used injections of ketamine hydrochloride while he was trying to reparent me as a, in his words, a healthy father figure. Obviously, that's laughable. But again, I was young, although I was an adult, and this law in California, what I think is so great about it is it's going to make these types of treatments illegal and inaccessible for adults. And so in California, you have a law already for minors.
Right.
But, it's not only minors who are vulnerable to these things. In fact, minors are often probably put into these treatments by their parents. But when you're an adult, you might obviously still be confused.
In the closet, right? I mean, there are a lot of people that don't come out until they're an adult. And as you said, California law bans the use of conversion therapy by mental health professionals for those under age 18, but doesn't protect adults.
Exactly. But, you know, when you get down splitting hairs, what can happen is somebody enters therapy not to try to change their sexual orientation or gender. For me, I didn't enter therapy. This was not a advertised conversion therapy. I entered therapy for lots of emotional reasons, as anyone does when they go to seek counseling. And then you're presented, as I was, with a therapist with antiquated theories and subversively takes you down a dangerous road. And again, you're vulnerable, you're impressionable, and this is when it can be hazardous. And so for adults, you know, you're always at the risk of this when you go to seek counseling of some sort. And so when it's preventable in some way, like with this law, but it's also important to still be changing hearts through education, because laws aren't going to prevent occurrences of this every time.
Exactly.
People who are in positions of power also need to be educated, so they themselves are not going to use these theories. I mean, there was a case in Canada recently, a psychiatrist lost his practice in Ontario from doing these types of things. So again, this is secular, not these pray away the gay.
Right, because that exists. I mean, there is a religious component. In fact, some of those who in the assembly expressed some concern about the bill were trying to address what they felt was a difficult issue, which is they want to ensure that laws don't tamper with religious freedom, right? Freedom of religion.
Yeah, I find that abhorrent. When I hear people talk about freedom of religion, I mean, you wouldn't hear this argument in Canada, for instance, where I live. Since when does religion advocate cruelty toward people? I mean, I don't get that.
No.
I don't get that. So, to me, people hide behind this notion of religion so that they can perpetuate their own biases, their own prejudices, their own immorality, as far as I'm concerned, because it causes enormous distress and prolonged trauma to these people to go through these. And these are not therapies. Let's just be very clear. I mean, therapy is meant to help and to heal people. These are just torture chambers. That's what these are.
Well, and I think you're right. When you think about people who hide behind the religious excuse, I think of ISIS. I think of so many awful groups in the world that have taken advantage of that. And I think it's exactly it. You know, if it's something about related to the spiritual part of things, it should be about your kindness and greatness and how do we help people and not hurt them. And I do think even when people talk about praying away your gayness, it's like, how do you change something that, you didn't choose? You can't change what you never chose.
Exactly. And even, you know, when we laugh about this idea of pray away the gay, you know, this is still extremely traumatic because all of these therapies, including these pray away the gays, are based on shaming people. And shame, as we know, for anyone who's shamed, if they're different in some way, children who are shamed on the playground, I mean, it causes depression. It causes
so many things. Absolutely. Yeah. And I know that you had attempted suicide a few times, and I appreciate you for being so vocal and sharing that. We are up against the clock, but I want everyone to know that your book is Inheritance of Shame. Peter Gajdic, thank you so much for joining us, and we will certainly stay in touch with whatever happens with this bill here in California, okay? Thank you so much.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.